Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Writer's Block with Jim Christina, Bobby Bell, and Richard Polinelli, only on LA Talk Radio.
Slowly becoming our theme song.
Yeah.
Embryonic Journey. I always feel like an embryo when I'm in here. I don't know why. I just do. Hey, welcome to another Thursday night. This is LA Talk Radio, and this, of course, is the Writer's Block. I am your host, Jim Christina, not screwing up tonight. So that's a good thing. Richard, tell the story about the black cat.
Oh, yeah. After last week's show, which was a dumpster fire basically for a little bit to start. Jim and I come into the studio every week because we need to decrease the amount of vehicles on the LA freeway system. So I ride in with him. We get to his house. As we turn on the street to his house, a very large black cat shoots right across our path. And I'm thinking that's supposed to work the other way around. We're supposed to have the black cat, then the disasters. But that was kind of just a perfect way to end the night. That and my little encounter with a woman addressing all the fruits and vegetables in the produce section at the store. So.
Yes. Well, you know what? I've thought about that, Richard, and I came up with the answer for that.
Okay.
That's what you get for shopping for Brussels sprouts.
That's
at 9:30 at night.
Well, you know, the honeydew list got delivered, and I had to stop, so.
Oh,
She has been told, do not give me a honeydew list tonight. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, she's still going to do it.
She probably will.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, why don't you go ahead and open us up for Tuscany Bay, and we'll go from there.
All righty. Congratulations, first-time author. You have finally typed those golden words, the end, on your very first book. I have some bad news for you, though. The work has just started because you have to have that book edited, formatted, create a cover for it, so it can be released and people will find it and purchase it, read it, and the most important thing is you get more money. So to do all that, you need the help of some good, very good people at Tuscany Bay Books and Black Dog Publishing, and they are here to help you out. They'll do all that heavy lifting for you, and that way you can have more time to get that second book written and get even more royalties paid. So to find out more about their first-time author program, give them a call at 805-795-3165, or you can email them at jchristina@tuscanybaybooks.com or richard.rpolinelli@tuscanybaybooks.com, and they will tell you everything you need to know to become a published author.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. And we actually do a pretty nice job. Which, of course, we also, Tuscany Bay has a new book coming out,
yes,
which is called The Last Lonely Trail.
Yep.
We are going to be working on the final edit and the proofreading here very shortly, and it should be ready for sale at the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival in April.
Yep, you can come by, and both Jim and I will be there, and we can both sign the book. It's a rare opportunity.
There you go. And we are going to, later on in the show, we're going to give you a list of what authors will be attending.
It's good lineup.
So there's some really big names this year. Big names. Bigly. Okay. Bobby Jean Bell and Jim Bell have a shop in, and I used to be in New Hall. It is now in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's called Out West. As it turns out, Out West is your shop, is your online source for top brands that are a reflection of the equestrian and the Western lifestyle. So you shop for unique and distinctive apparel, fashion accessories, home decor, and general merchandise. National brands include Rockmount Ranchwear, Scully Leather Company, and American West Handbags, just to name a few. So if you want to shop online, their web address is www.outwestshop.com, which has changed. Their enter code WB is in Whiskey Bravo 100 and receive $10 off on your order. Or you can call them toll free at 877 340 9378. Give them a call. They're really nice people. And actually, Bobby Jean's on with us tonight, and she'll be coming in here in just a second.
Yeah, I got to get some fashion tips for the Cowboy Festival from Bobby Jean. Get some stuff ordered in.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I should do that.
Okay. Since 2009, Target Freight has had a full truckload service, TFM truckload, and an LTL service. That is the best in the industry. Not only are they exceptionally good at what they do, but they work hard to make your truckload shipping or LTL experience unparalleled using their customized traffic movement program. So call TFM Truckload or Target Freight Management LTL today at 844-653-7789. Ask for Mike Matruski for Truckload or any of the fine account managers at 888-653-1323 for LTL. And you tell them you heard it here in the Writer's Block, and TFM will have a little something extra for you. Or, if you prefer, go to www.targetfmi.com, which is their web address. So we have, that's all out of the way. Last week we missed them, so it's because I got stupid and threw away all my stuff.
Last week was the full moon. We're
Last week was just a fiasco. It was horrible. It was horrible. But so far this week has been coming along swimmingly.
Yes.
So let's just keep it that way. Okay. We have with us tonight a gentleman that is born in India, but he moved to the United States with his parents at 1 year old, moved to Sparks, Nevada. His parents were, of course, hardworking Indian immigrants who wanted a better life for their sons, and they succeeded, according to Ankit. And I'm sure that they did. Ankit attended Sparks High University, or Sparks High School, then received his Bachelor's of Science in Nursing from the University of Nevada, Reno. After college, he left Nevada to explore other areas of the country. He began traveling nursing in 2010, which he still does to this day. In fact, right now he is in Las Vegas for a couple months, which is where he will be. We will be talking to him. Having lived in over 10 states, he has lived life, learned from life, and has several different careers and businesses along with his nursing career. Ankit is pursuing his dream of teaching, writing, and motivational speaking. His full-time residence is in Aurora, Colorado, where he owns a home with his wife. And, of course, as we just said, Ankit is currently in Las Vegas, Nevada. Will you please welcome to the Writer's Block, Ankit Shukla. And here you are.
Hey, guys, how are you?
We're good, man. We're exceptional. We're exceptional. So far, the show has gone okay.
Yeah,
I'm just happy.
We don't have red alarm.
My God,
I'm jealous. You guys are in L.A. I'm a huge fan of L.A.
Oh, are you really? Oh, that's right. You told me that on the phone today, actually. Yes.
Yeah.
Come in and see us when you're here in L.A. If you get here, I mean, you know, it's a pretty nice trip. It's a nice place.
Absolutely. And they get bad reps, but you know, I've always enjoyed my time in LA. It's a good city, you know, lots to do, fun times. So hey, I don't have a problem. My wife and I definitely come to LA whenever we get a chance, and my wife loves the Koreatown out there.
Koreatown is strange and wonderful place. It's burned down a couple times. But, hey, they keep building it back up.
They keep coming back.
So you guys come out here and party, or what's the deal?
Not so much party anymore, but, hey, we like to visit the various restaurants. You know, sometimes we'll go to Disney. Sometimes we'll, you know, maybe go to some nearby beaches, Santa Monica, wherever it may be. But, yeah, we just enjoy the sights, all the good food, and, yeah, we just enjoy being out there. We also have some friends and family that live out there, so we kind of catch up with them once we're out there as well.
Cool. Well, you know, LA is it's a nice place to visit. I don't know of anybody who really enjoys living in the consolidated downtown type area, but everybody pretty much lives in the outskirts, so it's not a bad place. Bobby Jean, you're with us, right? Still?
Oh, I'm here. Oh,
okay. Good God. I didn't even hear you breathing, which is unusual. So.
Oh, boy. I'm trying to be quiet.
No need. Just jump in whenever you want to.
I know CPR, but I won't be able to get over the phone.
Yeah. Well, Ankit, I was looking at videos on YouTube and such today, and I saw that you were out here in Hollywood not too long ago, a couple of years ago, and you received a Quilly Award. given by the National Academy of Best-Selling Authors. That looked like a really fun event. Can you tell me a little bit about the National Academy of Best-Selling Authors?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I'm glad you saw that. It was actually an award that was – it was actually an award ceremony that was out in Hollywood, like you said. We actually, a bunch of authors, took part in a book that was co-authored with, you know, the likes of Brian Tracy and various other authors, you know, Jack Canfield, who's famous for Chicken Soup for the Soul fame. But a bunch of us authors, you know, contributed different chapters in various books, kind of based on our specialties. My particular chapter was about adapting to change. And, you know, we all contributed, and, you know, those books became bestsellers, so we all received awards based on that. So it was a really fun thing to be a part of, a great experience. And, you know, just being able to receive that award and the recognition for being a best-selling author was a lot of fun. It's really inspired me to keep writing and keep going. So, you know, it's definitely come a long way since then, and I plan on writing a lot more and just keep going. So, yeah, that event was a lot of fun. It was great to be in Hollywood and be recognized for what we did.
Let me run this by real fast so I don't forget. If you're interested in talking to Ann Kitt tonight, our number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. Again, that number is 818-602-4929. And Bobby Jean, I want you to know that I'm doing that from memory.
Oh, that good for
course,
you.
Obviously,
I
can't remember
it.
Your name, but I do remember the phone number.
That's the important thing to remember.
There you go. Okay, I've got a number of questions for you. Your book is pretty self-explanatory. So people that are looking to, oh, golly, I don't even know, expand, I guess, their daily lives, expand their lives further than where they feel that they can go. Does that pretty much nail it, Ann Kitt?
Oh, yeah, I would say so. And my book is basically really on that whole premise that, you know, not only, you know, can a person, you know, expand their life, but that's their mindset should be that every day. And, you know, the book's title, you know, Don't Live the Good Life, Live the Better Life, that's basically, like you said, self-explanatory.
Right.
That's exactly what it means.
Right.
It means not settling for a good life, but always going for better and always looking for ways to improve and expand on your life.
Right. Well, I noticed, and I really like the fact that at the end of each chapter, you kind of boiled everything down to a couple sentences or maybe a small paragraph. And that actually helps you go back and go through a chapter again and kind of look at what you have been reading. And sometimes you miss things. And it's nice to see that small paragraph at the end of each chapter reminding you what you just read, which is very cool.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. And that was really my intention. I just wanted it to be a very easy read for anybody that picks up the book. You know, not only can just, you know, kind of read the excerpt in the back. I hope they read the whole chapter, but I think you can get, you know, the gist of the chapter just from that, you know, paragraph or two that I write at the end as a conclusion summary. But I also overall just wanted people to pick up the book and not be overwhelmed by it. It'd be a quick, easy read, but, you know, at the same time get a lot of information and help from it.
Sure. But I noticed that even though you have that paragraph at the bottom, which is, again, it's really a great deal, but if you don't read the chapter, you're missing a lot of what you say. And you can't, of course,
absolutely,
put the whole chapter in a paragraph, because otherwise it would be another whole chapter. So,
absolutely.
So the question I have for you, and Bobby Jean, I'm not trying to usurp your time. The question I have for you, and this is not anything to make anybody feel like they haven't accomplished something or haven't done a great job on what they have accomplished. There are so many books out right now that, and have been, golly, since the early to mid-70s, everybody's got a better idea. And I'm kind of interested in the fact of your thoughts about what makes your book, I know what makes it an easier read, because it's an extremely easy read, but what makes your book stand out amongst all the other books that profess to do what your book does? Did I say that okay?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
You know, I have my own ideas, and a lot of my ideas are, you know, expanded from, you know, other things I read, but I also put a lot of real life experiences in the book, and I think that's the key. And I also have, in the book, it kind of always goes back to that central idea of living the better life. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter what I talk about or anything I put, it always goes back to that same message. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I put a lot of real life examples in there. So people can kind of hear my story a little mm-hmm. bit and why I believe what I do and mm-hmm. the fact that I live my beliefs every day. So I think that helps it stand out. And at the same time, I'm not saying my book is better than anybody else's. It is what it is. I think that's for the audience to determine. But I really think that people are going to read this book and really be helped by it. Not just the fact that it's an easy read and a quick read, but also I just think they're going to be able to see a lot of the real life examples and, you know, a lot of the really, you know, simple concepts and really say, hey, you know, this makes total sense. Mm-hmm. You know, I can do this.
Right. And if I may say, I'm opening your book and starting to read it, there was one thing that came to mind, and I, having seen a lot of these other books on the market, yours was refreshingly short. But then I realized that it wasn't full of a lot of nebulous BS. It was pretty much from the heart, straightforward, go, 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 mm-hmm. end of chapter, go, 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 end of chapter. Wayne Dyer's probably a really nice guy, but you don't mm-hmm. need 600 pages of how to improve yourself.
Right, right. Yeah, and definitely, yeah, and you know, Mr. Dyer, he's definitely one of my fans. But yeah, that I'm glad you said that because that was my whole thing, and that's just been my style. Even since I was a kid, you know, when you're in high school and all that, and in college, you just get, you know, you get these assigned like, hey, you know, write this 20-page paper or whatever it may be, you know, write this 50-page thesis.
Right.
And I always had a difficult time doing that just because I was one of those guys, I just kind of got to the point with my writing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, I had a hard time putting a lot of flowery concepts or so many different examples and ideas. It's just, I just really got to the point with my writing. So even in high school, I always had a really difficult time making those long, you know, essays. Even though I would eventually get it completed, it was just very, very difficult for me.
Right.
And when I wrote this book, that was my same idea, you know, just get to the point with whatever you're trying to say.
Well, you did an excellent job.
Can I make a comment?
Of course you may.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
I just as Jim is saying, I've read a lot of books over the last probably 30 years or more, starting with Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. I think that was probably one of the first books that I read, and I like to reread that every so often. But what I found about this, just as Jim is saying, about being kind of short and sweet and to the point, is that if you have read a lot of books in the past, that doesn't mean that you don't need a refresher, and that you may be at a point in your life where something will jump off a page at you that you may have missed the last time you read any kind of a motivational or self-help kind of book. And I found a couple of things that you talked about that was sort of new to me in this genre. One was how important it is to be generous. And I don't remember really anybody else other than maybe biblical references really talking about why being generous can actually better your life. Can you expound on that a little bit and why that's so?
Oh, absolutely. And I don't know about others, but I can honestly say for personal reasons, when I'm able to help someone, I mean, I learn a lot myself too. And also it just makes me feel better, you know, if I'm genuinely able to help someone. And one of the things I talk about with generosity is, you know, how it doesn't need an audience, is that you're generous for the sake of being generous, for the sake of being kind and helpful. So I truly believe if you're doing it for that reason, it can have a great effect in your life, not just for your mindset, but just your soul. And I truly believe that you'll learn a lot about other people just by being willing to be generous. And it's actually, there's kind of a funny story about how I came up with that idea, or one of the ways, if you want to hear it. I don't know if you guys were Seinfeld fans back in the day.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
So I don't know if you, do you remember that episode where George puts a tip in a tip jar at an Italian restaurant or a pizza place, whatever it was, and the guy doesn't see him do it, so he's like obsessed with that and upset at it, and he's like, man, you know, what's the point of tipping someone if they don't see you do it? And I don't know, that just that was one of the things that I was thinking about when I wrote that chapter and that quote, like, hey, you know, nobody has to see you put money in the tip jar, you don't have to be generous or kind so people will look at you or because you'll get an award from it. You have to be generous and kind for the sake of being generous and kind, because it makes you yourself feel good, and you're also doing it to help genuinely help somebody. So that was one of the examples I was thinking of.
And another example that I thought was really, and I could look back in my own life and see how this played out. You also talk about when you're being generous, you know, when you're choosing who to be generous to, and there's a fine line between generosity and also the person you're being generous with beginning to have a sense of entitlement. And that was very interesting how you kind of encouraged us to think about who and how to be generous in a way that will benefit the person you're or group or whatever that you're giving to, and that you don't become a victim. I didn't explain that very well. Do you want to just explain that? I thought that was a fascinating concept.
No, I think you explained it really well. And my whole premise of that is, you know, if you're helping someone or if you yourself are being helped by somebody, that first of all you're grateful for the help, and second that you're doing the best that you can to help yourself. I mean, we all need a helping hand, we all need assistance, we all, you know, fall down, and we all need that extra assistance for someone, whether it's financial help, education, mentoring, you know, just kind of some guidance along the way, whatever it may be. But we all need help at some point, but we also need to make sure we do our best to help ourselves. And in that turn, that you know, I think you're showing respect to the person that's helping you, and you're also, you know, growing as a person. So when you're helping somebody else out, I know sometimes it can be hard to tell who's really gonna take your advice, who's really gonna take what you give them and, you know, do well with it. But at the same time, it's just about being observant. And, you know, an example I always like to take is, you know, if you, let's say you were a compulsive gambler, and you know, you lost all your money gambling. If if I maybe gave you money or gifted you money or loaned you money to help you get back back on your feet, and you use that money to just go back and gamble again, you know, then that defeats the purpose. Then, you know, I was a victim. I helped you for no reason, and the chances of me helping you again a second time are very, very low. However, if I saw that you used that money, you know, to pay off your debt, to maybe educate yourself and, you know, make things better the next time and not let that mistake happen again, then it's like, okay, well, you know, you've come this far, let me help you a little bit more. So I'll be a little bit more open to helping someone if I see that they're doing their best to help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, there was one section of the book that I kind of stood out to me. It was in chapter 8 where you're discussing failure. And, you know, a lot of people, they obviously, no one likes to fail, but I've talked to a lot of people who have said that they've learned more from their failures than from their successes. And I just wanted to know, do you agree with that and why?
Oh, absolutely. Because, and it's great that we live in such a country that, you know, allows you to come back from failure. Let me just say that. But absolutely, because when you fail, you learn lessons along the way. You can look back at your failure, as long as you were diligent and really thought about the process, like, okay, I failed, what happened? Is this something I truly didn't want to do? Did I make mistakes along the way? Is this something I still want to pursue? So I believe truly that you can, you fail along the way, and that you can learn, because you learn from your mistake or other people's mistakes. You learn who you can trust. You learn about, you know, money management, or, you know, what ideas worked, what didn't. So I truly believe that you can learn from failure, and certainly I have. I've failed plenty of times in my life, as long, you know, just as many times as I succeeded, probably. So, I definitely completely agree that you can learn from failure, and I hope that you do.
Going through your manuscript and your book, that's a good point you just brought up, and I want to explore that just a little bit more. Do you think in your building process of your life, as you go from good to good, better, best, I guess, like the paint grades, you're going from good to better to best, is it always better to admit your defeats, admit your failures? Is that a psyche builder? Does that build on your? I'm not sure what I'm asking. Is it good for your psyche?
Don't try to sweep them under the rug.
I know, huh? Yeah. Say what you. Yeah, yeah.
No, I mean, that's what. That's the point. You don't want to bury them and then never think about them again because you're not going to learn anything off.
Because a lot of people don't like to admit mistakes or failures.
Exactly.
And they always seem to be stuck in that hole that they can never quite get out of, and then they always wonder why they're there. And I'm just, I mean, it's kind of curious as to is way you look at it.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you should admit your failures and, you know, acknowledge them. And now here's one thing. You don't have to announce them to anybody or everybody unless you're, you know, seeking help from somebody. But at least admit them to yourselves. And I think that's a point I want to make. I want, you know, if you're, it's, I mean, it's truly understandable that you're embarrassed by a failure. You know, but at the same time, you do have to admit and acknowledge them. But, you know, acknowledge them to yourself. It's not something you would have to announce to anybody, but, you know, unless you're, like I said, seeking help from them. But, yeah, I think you should definitely acknowledge your failures to yourself. And, you know, don't look at it in a way that, hey, you're a complete failure in life or you can't come back from it. But really use it as a way to motivate yourself, whether it's through education or whatever, and, you know, different actions, whatever it may be. But I think, yeah, definitely at least admitting it to yourself. It's a big, important step.
So using as a stepping stone in your building structure of your life, going on the good, better, best principle, it's almost necessary to admit, at least to yourself, of your failures. Okay.
Yeah. You can't know what it's hard to know what makes a better life if you don't understand what makes it worse.
Here's a real quick question for you. I don't even know how long it's going to take you to answer this. Where did this book come from? Where did that did all of this come from?
Just from a lot of life experience, moving around, meeting a lot of people, just lessons I've learned from various mentors along the way, whether it's parents, teachers, friends, partners, whoever it may have been, just a lot of life experience. And I just got I've always had an inkling to write, but I just could never find my genre or exactly what to write about. But, you know, one day, slowly I developed, hey, you know, I have a lot of different ideas that could be really helpful to people that I learned along the way. And, you know, I just really started writing. I remember listening to one of my favorite motivational speakers. And he basically said, hey, you know, the best way to get your ideas out there is to write a book about it. And, you know, that way you have something solid, concrete that you can, showcase your ideas with. And, you know, that really motivated me. So that's what I did. I remember at the time I was working a night job out in Santa Fe, out in New Mexico. And, you know, during the days I was basically writing all the time. And basically within a month, I'd say I had this book. So it was really easy to write too, just because I really had a lot of ideas and I was really motivated to write it at the time.
Uh-huh. So you didn't, when you were writing it, getting into some of the process, did you work from an outline or just from memory?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I kind of outlined what the different chapter titles would be and what I would talk about in each chapter. And then I just basically went from there. And then I added, edited, and, you know, switched things around as I went through.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Bobby Jean, I know you have a question in there somewhere. It would be unlike you to be this quiet.
I really don't. I'm just listening.
Oh. Well, look, then let me take this opportunity to run a commercial, we'll be back to you guys in about a little bit more than 30 seconds. So if you'll hang on, we're just going to get right back to you, and we're going to do a commercial. So don't go away. We'll be back to you in just a little few minutes, or a couple seconds, actually. Imagine deep blue skies, majestic mountains, and acres of lush green orange trees in a tranquil country setting. Sound like a perfect vacation spot? It is, for your dog. That's right. All Dogs Rule Day Camp and Sleepover is the premium place for your four-legged friends to spend their time away from you. Whether you're whether you are going away for one night or two nights, getaway or an extended vacation, All Dogs Rule is the place your dog wants to be when they can't be with you. When your dogs return home, you'll have to ask whose vacation was better. And as we all know, whose vacation was better, Richard?
The House Hound.
The House Hound. So check out their website at alldogsrule.com or give them a call, 805-524-1100. And Russ and Karen are actually personal friends, and they are really great and good trainers, good people, and will love your dog. So All Dogs Rule, 524-1100, area code 805, and you're never going to make a better decision. Okay, it is now 7:29. We're back on the air. We're back with Ann Kitt and with Bobby Jean. And we actually have Henry Park coming in tonight, so we have a little bit of time left. So, Bobby, did you want to ask the question?
Yeah, of course. I love to ask the question.
I know you do.
So, Ann Kitt, as you know, this show is called The Writer's Block. And so one of the things that we love to query our guests is regarding the creative process. Do you ever experience writer's block? And if no, then what does the term mean to you? And if yes, can you share a little bit about what you do to get around it?
Oh, absolutely. I actually have experienced writer's block many times. Actually, before I wrote my very first book, the one we were talking about, I did attempt other writings in the past, and it just kind of fizzled out. Like, I don't know if I just wasn't interested or life got in the way, but I certainly had moments where I just couldn't come up with ideas. But, you know, the times I had writer's block, I just kind of put it away and, you know, maybe could come back to it later. And then when I was motivated to write, that's when I really did my most writing and did my best work, because sometimes ideas just came to me. And that's probably what I encourage people to do, is like, sometimes when ideas come to you, you know, take that time to really write them down and work hard on your writing. But, you know, when I just had that writer's block, you know, sometimes I would try to force myself a little bit to come up with ideas, but in the long run, I would probably just kind of put it away and try to determine if I want to continue with this project, or if it's just something I should bury and kind of never look at again. And I actually had a couple of back and forth experiences with my latest book that I just wrote regarding writer's block. So definitely it's something I've experienced on numerous occasions.
That was going to be
Jim.
I was just going to say that was going to be my next question about further projects.
Mm-hmm.
Future projects.
Yeah, absolutely. So actually recently, like I mentioned before, I'm a traveling nurse. And a couple years back, I started writing a book related to my travel nursing experience, you know, the states I visited, the people I've met, the lessons I've learned. That book took me a couple of years because, you know, I started it and then would stop, I start and stop. So I almost didn't complete it. I thought maybe I should put it away and, you know, and not come back to it. But then, you know, I was motivated again to write it. And I recently finished that book just late last year, last November, and actually got it published with a traditional publisher, which I was really excited about. And the fact that I have a traditional publisher now, it kind of gives me more time to think about my writing and not so much worry about how I'm going to get it published, how I'm going to get it out to the masses. The fact that opportunity exists now, I feel more motivated to write on a regular basis, and I feel I can focus a lot more on my writing, not so much the other parts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How did you find your publisher?
I found it through a networking event in early January of last year, 2016, or 2017, I'm sorry. I was actually doing a networking event with, one of my idols, and I was doing, you know, meet and greets, things like that. And then one of the people I met along the way was a publisher out of Colorado Springs. If it's okay, may I say their name?
Sure, absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's a Alpine Line Publishers out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. Great guy, and I actually met the founder and owner of Alpine Line Publishers through an event that I was doing in Colorado, Denver, Colorado Springs. And we hit it off. He was a great guy, and he really liked my writing style. He enjoyed my first book. And so, you know, we kept in touch, and he just said, hey, you know, contact him when I'm done with my further project, and we'll see what we can do. And when I finally did, I contacted him. I turned in my material, and they accepted my work, which was really nice because there's so many publishers out there who are probably getting thousands of manuscripts and, you know, questions out there. So it's really hard to know if you send in all your work, if it's even going to be looked at, you know, who knows. Mm-hmm. And you may be waiting months or years for a response, but the fact that I was able to find someone through a networking event, you know, kind of the whole adage, it's not what you know, it's who you know, that really helped me. And just the fact that I was out there constantly doing events, eventually I ran into the right person and we hit it off. And yeah, I was able to get my work published through them. They're great people, and I've really enjoyed my time with them so far. And I have a lot of big writing projects in the near future that I plan on submitting to them. Mm-hmm. And my last book, regarding travel nursing, is called, you know, Going Global: The Life of a Traveling Nurse, which, you know, is doing well, and I'm really proud of that book. And I really have plans for other books, both related to my profession and beyond.
Actually, you know, as you were giving the title, you know what, my brain went to the extreme right. Actually, to the extreme left. And as you were saying the title of your book, I was thinking, Going Global: The Travels of a Snake Oil Salesman. Now, don't ask me why I thought that. I just did.
That's my other career, yeah.
So, and in your first book, you indie published that, is that correct?
I did. And it was just a good way to get it out there, you know, as soon as I could. And that's one of the benefits of indie publishing, is that you can get your work out there without having, you know, without worrying about it, whether it's being accepted or not. It's just a good way to get it out there immediately.
Well, it's also being published by a publishing house or a small publisher. You still have to do the three magic words, which is shameless self-promotion. And Richard's over here nodding yes.
Yes.
Every writer that's listening to the show has done the same thing, and we all do it. Shameless self-promotion. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to self-promote your book, probably shouldn't have written it.
Yeah, because nobody else is going to if you don't.
It's not going to fly off the shelf on its own.
Nope.
Incidentally.
Oh, you got to be out there. Yeah, you got to be out there on radio shows, writing about it, talking about it, having books on hand.
And here you are.
Absolutely.
And here you are.
I know. Just for you guys.
Hey, look, we're going to have to start wrapping this up with you. So let's talk about your website for a minute. And where is your website? What's its address?
Oh, absolutely. So my website, it's ankitshukla.org. That's ankitshukla.org, ankitshukla.org. I have a blog page on there that I write regularly. A lot of the same ideas that I write about in my book, and, you know, it has access to my Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, personal email account. So definitely you can find pretty much any way to contact me through my personal website.
Excellent.
And, you know, feel free to comment on anything I write on my blog. I would love to hear from all of you.
And, of course, your books are available on Amazon.
And yep, absolutely.
Yeah, online booksellers.
Yeah.
And you did something that I've never seen another author do. You put 10 pages of personal quotes in the back of your book.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I have a few of them here highlighted that that really struck me. First one is, don't give people reasons to believe your enemies. I like that.
Mm-hmm. That's a great one.
That is a great one. Life doesn't care if you're ready. Mm-hmm. That's really true.
Yeah.
People who have animosity towards you just for being successful don't deserve to be in your life. I like that too.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want drama in your life, then don't create it. We actually changed that in the green room tonight. It was, if you don't want drama in your life, don't join a drama club.
Yeah,
okay.
He's been ad-libbing tonight.
I have been. I'm shamelessly ad-libbing. Life does not take a day off. I like that one.
Yep.
You have a bunch of them in here. So congratulations on this book. I sincerely hope that your next book is as successful as this one has been. We're pulling for you, pal.
Oh, thank you guys so much, and thank you for having me on the show.
And absolutely.
Great questions. I love talking to all of you.
And you've got 500,000 people that are listening to this show, or will be listening to it in the next week or two. And, hey, you're getting out to a whole bunch of people, so you're probably going to see a little bit of spike in your sales.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, my biggest thing is I hope that people read my book and really get a lot out of it. And, you know, I just want to encourage people, hey, if you've read my book, if you love my ideas or even hated my ideas, right, whatever it may be, thanks for giving it a chance. But I, you know, I want to encourage all of you, hey, follow me on my website and comment on anything I've written, whether it's in my book, on my website. You know, don't be a stranger. Definitely, you know, feel free to contact me, and I'd love to connect with all of you guys out there.
Happily, happily. Again, that's we have author Ankit Shukla, and his book is called The Even Better Life. And you can pick it up at Amazon. You can pick it up at all the online booksellers. And if you go to his website, pick it up there.
Yes, you can.
So, oh, yeah, it's actually called Don't Live the Good Life, Live the Better
Okay,
Life.
Okay, there you go. So anyway, thank you so much for joining us. And like I said, email me when you get back into Colorado, and I will send you a coffee mug.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, and have yourself a fun rest of your evening.
Yep, you as well.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye. Ankit Shukla.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention before Henry calls that, Bobby, I know you're still with us.
Yes, I'm here.
I got an email from Pipe and Thimble indie bookstore today that my book, Stillwaters, was on their January bestseller list.
Oh, how wonderful.
All kinds of neat things happened this week. I like it. I like it. Hey, let me give you a real brief list of who's going to be at the bookstore with us this year. Of course, Richard and I will be there. We'll be there actually with our own books, plus with Tuscany Bay stuff. Courtney Joyner is joining us this year for both Saturday and Sunday. J.R. Sanders will be with us Saturday and then Sunday until 2. He also has scheduled a featured table from 2 to 5 on Saturday afternoon. Eric Heisner, Al Bringus, Bob Brill. Let me add. Henry, is that you? Henry?
We got a number.
There he is. Yes. Okay, hang on just a second. Bob Brill, Saturday and Sunday. Dale Jackson, only on Saturday this year. Looking forward to seeing DB. He and my wife Jerry are good buds. Johnny D. Boggs is coming in from New Mexico. Or Oklahoma.
He's in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma to join us this year for Saturday and Sunday. Katie Ryan will be with us. And Peter Shirako has kindly accepted our offer.
Nice.
So that's who we have coming in. We don't have as many authors this year, but we have some pretty fine ones coming in. So, hi, Henry. How are you, man?
Hi. I'm great. How are you doing?
We're doing great. And, of course, Henry Park will be cruising the lot.
Yes, he will.
He will be, whatever Henry does during the Cowboy Festival, he stops by the bookshop several times during the weekend.
I will be roaming aimlessly throughout and frequently stopping by.
As you do so well.
Hey, I got to see Johnny Boggs. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Oh, I know, huh? That was a coup.
Great guy, great writer.
Oh, I know. I actually had him on the show. Was it last year, Bobby?
It was last year.
Yeah. You and Russ were both sick, and I did a Johnny Boggs interview by myself and just loved it. It was fun. So, Henry, how was West Studi?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm still waiting to do the interview.
Okay. If you haven't done the interview, you got to tell him that I loved him in Penny Dreadful. He was in Penny
Dreadful,
and I loved how he played that role. He was a Apache werewolf.
Oh, I actually liked him in Dances with Wolves as the one Indian, the bad guy. What the hell tribe is he? Pawnee.
And I loved him as Magua in Last of the Mohicans.
Yes, and then the movies. And then the movies where he was the police Indian police detective.
The Navajo Mysteries.
Yes, very, very good.
Right, the Hillerman ones.
Yes. Hillerman.
Terrific stuff. Right.
So what do you got for us tonight, Henry?
Well, actually, we've got some really good Western news this week.
Okay.
HBO has announced the return date for season 2 of Westworld.
Oh, good.
Nice.
Good.
It's coming back April 22nd. They've released the first trailer, which looks really sharp. If you didn't see the Super Bowl, they showed it then. Then you can see it on the Roundup, which will have not quite the same ratings, but pretty good.
I did see it on the Super Bowl.
Your ratings are exceptional, Henry. Don't lie.
Okay. I'm being falsely modest.
Yeah, okay.
I'll improve your ratings, because I didn't watch the Super Bowl, but I'll watch yours. So there you go.
I appreciate that.
Anyway.
And there's a new Western series in development at Amazon to star, if not the king, then the Kaiser of cowboys, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
A new Western in Amazon with,
with Arnold?
With Arnold. It's set in the late 1800s, Oklahoma, when it was still Indian territory. And Arnold will play a federal marshal who's incidentally emigrated from Europe as a child. They took the alleged accent into account. Anyhow, he's partnered with a deputy trying to track down an infamous outlaw, and it's produced by Mace Newfield, who produced Gods and Generals, so he knows what he's doing.
Well, you know, Arnold did a Western back in the 70s or 80s.
It was bad.
It was, well, it was he played Handsome Stranger. Uh-huh. And Kirk Douglas was, it was like Takeoff and the Coyote and the Roadrunner. And Kirk Douglas was the Coyote, and of course, the girl and Handsome Stranger were the Roadrunners. And I don't remember the name of it. I'll think of it here probably after we hang up. But it was a funny movie.
No, that was the one they didn't let him have his real voice, wasn't it?
No, they didn't, because it was so, his German accent was so thick.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was called, the something or other. But anyway, I digress.
Like the villain.
The villain. Yes, you just looked it up, didn't you?
I did watch him in his very first movie, Hercules Goes Bananas. which they looped him in, and oh my gosh, the voice that they got. It was not convincing. Let's just put it at that. Now, speaking of new Western series, do you folks know anything about the new Lionsgate series, Young Guns?
No.
Because they announced it some months ago, and I've been trying for months, but I haven't even been able to find out for sure whether it's based on the Young Guns movies or not. And they have registered 48 episode titles, but they have not released a cast list or any other information.
Oh, I haven't heard anything about them. So,
well, if they've actually done 48 of them, I think eventually we're going to hear something. But
well, maybe they just picked the titles and are working on scripts.
Yeah.
Right, maybe so.
Yeah, I don't know.
Also coming to the roundup, I'll be looking at last year's TCM Classic Movie Festival.
Okay.
Which featured the 3D re-premiere of those Redheads from Seattle, the wonderful documentary Dawson City, Frozen Time, and a presentation from Paramount, which has acquired the entire Republic Library and is restoring every film.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
That'll be good.
That's like,
doing like 75 a year.
That's like Roy Rogers out the butt. He did
exactly.
A ton of Roy Rogers movies, Republic serials and stuff.
Right.
Outstanding.
And I'll be looking forward to, as much as I can, information-wise, to the new festival that's coming April 26th. Now, more films are going to be announced as we get closer to the date, but of the 18 movies listed so far, exactly zero are Westerns.
Oh.
So, I hope that's going to improve.
Yeah.
Sooner than that, starting February 25th, they'll have the L.A. Italia Festival, which they have at the Chinese Six Multiplex, where for a week, dozens of Italian films, mostly new ones but also classics, will be screened for free, first come, first served.
Wow.
They usually have a spaghetti western or two, but they have not announced their schedule yet. And I'll be reviewing some new books and DVD releases. And as you know, you can read all about that and so much more at www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
Okay, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks, Henry.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, us too, because we want to hear all about Wes Studi.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. When I know what to tell you, I will.
Hey, if you want a photographer for this interview, give me a call.
It's going to be bad pictures because it's going to be over the phone.
Okay, buddy.
Darn.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, take care, folks.
Talk soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There went my chance to get an autograph.
I know. Oh, I forgot to tell you that Dale Jackson actually is going to be at the featured table on Saturday as well. He's there. Excellent. From 10 to 1. So
right.
We're putting him there for his first day, or his only day there. And, of course, we got so many good people coming in. It's all new this year, Bobby Jean. They're making new banners. They're doing everything new.
Yeah, well, that's good.
You just got to hope the weather holds. No, no 90-plus weather.
It's going to be warm, so just get used to it.
No, I don't want to.
It's really the wind. Well, temperature is temperature, but boy, when it's windy, it's really nasty.
It's miserable. It's miserable. I get hot, and I cannot cool down. I just cannot.
Well, the good news is it's free to get in this year.
So yes.
Just show up and walk in.
Actually, I've gotten two emails from the festival now, and both of them said tickets are available or on sale. I thought, no. And then I got one that says, you still have to order them, but they're not. They're no charge. So there you go.
Well, but there are tickets. There are ticketed concerts on Main Street.
Yes, and ticketed tours as well.
And there are some events that are ticketed, but
basic entry into the festival, no charge.
Yeah, you want to come see us, it won't cost you a thing.
Yeah. Well, it's if you want to come see us.
If you want to come see us.
You really got to want to come see us.
To the two members of my fan club, here's your chance.
All come of my friend.
Come see me now.
Okay, well, let's wrap this little puppy up. Bobby Jean, always a pleasure. And you sound really good tonight. You were in good voice.
Well, I'm happy, as always, to be part of the Writer's Block team. Thank you for allowing me to call in from Albuquerque.
And we are just absolutely thrilled that you chose to remain with us.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. So my best to your husband. Hi, Jim.
I will. He's in the kitchen. I think he's getting another cup of coffee ready for me.
Well, maybe for your birthday's not coming up for a while, but maybe when your birthday hits, I'll send you a bottle of Bailey's.
There you go.
Well, the wine was really good, by the way.
Oh, was it? Oh, good. Okay. I'm glad you enjoyed it. All righty, we're going to have to get out of here. Bobby Jean, thanks a lot. We'll be talking to you not next week because you're taking the week off.
Right. So in 2 weeks because then Russ comes in.
And Russ comes in.
So I'll see you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. And then next week we have Melissa Carrigie. And she's going to prove to be an interesting interview because she doesn't want to talk about anything about her children's book. She wants to talk about other stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see what... I think it's going to be her ex-employer, maybe. She wants to talk about it a little bit.
Oh, really?
But we'll figure that out when the time comes. And, of course, for Richard, for me, Jim Christina, for Bobby Jean Bell, for LA Talk Radio, you've been listening to The Writer's Block, and we are out of here. Oops. There we go.